5:36. Whosoever will may come. You know, that's what I like about the gospel message. It's open to whoever. Whoever. It's not just for those who are rich. It's not just for those who are poor. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter what country you're from. Whosoever will may come. The gospel is for him. So if you're here today and not saved, it's for you. If you're here and you're already saved, you need to thank God that it was for whosoever will. Otherwise, you might not have been desirable, right? None of us are desirable. But God saves us anyway. All right, number 536.
Because we've had how many Sunday morning services canceled recently due to the weather? And then last week we had a guest speaker here. But we are preaching in Sunday morning services on what does the future hold? What's going to happen in the future? And we have seen that the rapture of the church is the next event to take place. The rapture. After the rapture, you have the judgment seat of Christ. And then the marriage of the Lamb. You know, the whole church is going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ someday. And that's future. Then we began to look at the 7 years of tribulation. And just as we started that 7 years of tribulation, I preached the message on, will Russia invade Israel? Folks, I'll tell you what. Isn't it interesting to watch the news and to see the events taking place with Russia and the Muslim nations in opposition to Israel? You know, this is real. This is going to happen. And it may happen at any moment. It may happen right at the same time as the rapture of the church takes place. Or it may happen right after the rapture of the church takes place. But that's going to happen. What's going to happen? Russia is going to invade Israel. But they're going to lose. They're going to lose bad. And I believe through that, God is going to begin to work on Israel to bring them back to Himself. The bringing back of Israel to Himself is going to take a total of 7 years, and it's called the tribulation time. And so that we also preached on the tribulation time, what the purpose of the tribulation was and the nature of the tribulation. We looked at Daniel's 70 weeks. Then we talked about how that there would come an Antichrist on the scene. We also talked about how that there would be a religious system which would rule over the nations of the world in the very beginning of the tribulation time. You ought to look with interest as you see the ecumenical movement going onward, progressing. And the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, these are things that have to do with the end times. And of course, Roman Catholicism with its great power welding over the nations of the world. It's my understanding that the Catholic Church took out a full-page ad in the New York Times where they basically were telling the new president, we want you to be aware that we believe this, 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 and this. You ought to do this, 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 and this, and this. Wow. That's like the harlot riding the beast, as we read in the book of Revelation. And then we saw those two witnesses that would come, Elijah and Moses. And then we looked at the Battle of Armageddon. That's what we preached on last, the Battle of Armageddon. You know, the 7 years of tribulation, which is going to come upon this earth, to try all men on the face of this earth, and to prepare this world for Jesus to return and set up His kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth, is going to end with the Battle of Armageddon. And we looked at that battle as given to us in Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and fight against all His enemies who are going to be led by the Antichrist, the devil, and also that false prophet who's going to be here. These are things we've already preached on. I'm not going to preach on them again. They're all still available on the website. If you missed any of those, you can go back and just kind of review and go over that and get a hold of the things that we talked about. Now, if we could bring ourselves up to where we're at in the end times, all right, the rapture of the church has taken place. The church has left earth and gone to be with the Lord up in heaven. Then there's 7 years of tribulation on this earth during which God is going to bring Israel back to Himself. And all Israel is going to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I know they don't believe in Him now, but they will at the end of the tribulation time. And then at that time, they're going to find all the nations of the world are gathered against Israel. And they're going to cry out to the Lord up in heaven, and God will send His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and fight for them in the Battle of Armageddon. And then when all the wicked are destroyed at the end of that Battle of Armageddon, He's going to take all the saved, and into the kingdom He's going to take them for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, Satan will be chained up or in the bottomless pit, unable to do his work like he does now among men for 1,000 years. Now, what we're going to look at today is how does Jesus set up this kingdom for 1,000 years? How does it get started? And that's what we want to look at. In Matthew 25, where you're at, verse 31, we have what has been referred to as the judgment of the nations. Now, there's several judgments. You've already heard me talk about several judgments. At the rapture, there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ where believers are going to give account for what we've done since we've been saved. We're not going to give account as to whether we're going into heaven or not, but whether we're going to get reward or not. And so there's a judgment seat of Christ. Then you've got the Battle of Armageddon. That's certainly a judgment of God. And now right after the Battle of Armageddon, there's this judgment of the nations. All the nations are going to be gathered together around the Lord Jesus Christ, who has returned now. And He's going to set up His kingdom with Israel being the main recipients of His blessing and ruling. And all the rest of the nations of the world are going to have to submit to King Jesus for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, there's another judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. So we're not talking about that judgment at the end of all times when men are then cast in the lake of fire. We're talking about a judgment that happens when Jesus comes back to fight the Battle of Armageddon and to set up His kingdom with Israel as His primary subjects for 1,000 years. How does He get that established? All right, here we go. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. All right, so there you see. See this throne. And Jesus is there in all of His glory. And when is Jesus going to be here in all His glory? Right now He's up in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's going to be here in all His glory when He returns to fight the Battle of Armageddon. And He wins the battle, of course. Now he sits on his throne in Jerusalem, I believe. And all the nations of the world are gathered together. All right. Verse 32. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And by the way, if you're there, you want to be on his right hand. You don't want to be on the left. You want to be with his sheep, not with the goats. And now I know that this is a future time, but even today, all those who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ are referred to as the Lord's sheep. You don't want to be a goat, all right? The goat is the negative, the sheep is the positive. You want to be on the positive side. You want to be on the saved side, the Christian side of things. One who's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the side you want to be on. And in the Bible, being on the right hand is always the side you want to be on with God, at His right hand. And it's interesting that our Savior right now is at the right hand of God. When He died for us, was buried, and He rose again. 40 days later, He ascended back up into heaven. And the Bible says He's right now seated at the right hand of the Father. The right hand is always the good side. It's the side of authority. It's the side of righteousness and holiness. It's just, that's the way the Bible presents it. So you don't want to be on His left side, all right? If you're on the left side of Christ at any time, it's because you're not saved. You don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. And you want to be on the right side of things. All right, so here we go, verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? You know, those are good questions responded back from those on his right hand, because when you think of Jesus, you don't think of someone who's sick, naked, stranger, hungry, and things like that. So in what way did they do this to him? Verse 40, the answer is, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, here you see, why are there people on his right hand as opposed to his left hand? Maybe I ought to just read on, but you're going to see there's a difference here between the group on his right hand and the group on his left. I'll read on, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. And what type of animals are on the left hand? Goats, right? Goats. All right, like I said, you don't want to be on that side. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, the people on the right hand are going to enter into the kingdom, it says. Look back there, verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Well, boy, that's where you want to go. You want to go into that. Here he's saying to the ones on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Whoa. Why are these people headed for that? Verse 42. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. It's the same thing that he said to the sheep on the right hand. But negatively, verse 44, Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Wow. This is what we call the judgment of the nations, where Jesus gathers the nations of the world unto himself after the battle of Armageddon. Israel is all saved at this time, and we can show that. Romans chapter 11 teaches us that all Israel shall be saved, and their king will come and set up his kingdom. It's all there in Romans chapter 11, and you can read all about that. So here is Jesus. Battle of Armageddon is done. He's ready to set up his kingdom. Israel is gathered around him, and he gathers all the nations unto him, and he separates the people in the nations. On his right hand, the sheep. On his left hand, the goats. And he says to the ones on the right hand, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just stop for a moment here. The things that are going to happen are not happenstance or God changing his mind about things because he's reacting to what goes on. Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ knows the beginning to the end? He's the Alpha and Omega. He knows all that's going to take place. This isn't a mistake and God's trying to fix it up and repair it. Oh, I didn't think that would happen. No, God is not surprised by anything. And God, even before the foundation of the world, provided to save man from their sins if they want to be saved. It's not a matter of responding to circumstances here. It's a matter of faith and accepting what God has already provided to save you from your sins. Now you might say, well, if the rapture takes place, we're not going to be here at that time. And you're right. But those who are on his right hand are those who are saved. Those on the left hand are those who are not saved. You say, well, it doesn't seem to say that there. It's whether or not they helped him when he was hungry and sick and in prison or not. Well, I'd like to show you that it does have reference to being saved, okay? So the people now are divided between the sheep and the goats here at this judgment of the nations. The sheep are going to go into the kingdom. The goats are going to go to the lake of fire. That's where they're going to go. Look there, verse 41. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire. This is the final abode for these people. Now, that's a little different than the rest of the people who have already died up to this time. These are people who are alive at the end of the Battle of Armageddon and the setting up of the kingdom of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. If they find themselves on the goat side, into everlasting fire they're going to go. If they find themselves on the sheep side, into the kingdom they're going to go. Everlasting kingdom. Look, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, the basis of the judgment is how they treated God's people. That's what he says. Now, you're sheep because when I was in prison, when I was sick, ye took care of me. When saw we thee sick and in prison, hungry and not clothed and things like that? When did we see that? And the Lord responds in verse 40, and he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Who are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time of the judgment of the nations, after the battle of Armageddon? It's Israel, folks. It's Israel. There are many other times in the scriptures when God calls his people his own brethren. And he comes among his brethren. And he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross, not only for the sins of the whole world, but also for the sins of Israel. And he's going to save them and return them unto himself again someday. And you know, during the 7 years of tribulation, Israel is going to come under fierce opposition. Isn't it interesting? You watch the history of Israel from history in the past and how the nations have sought to destroy the Jews and get rid of the Jews. This is a well-known commentary in history. One nation, one leader after another comes along and wants to blame the Jews for everything. And you know, the Jews are in trouble because they've rejected their own Savior, their Messiah. And a lot of the trouble they've endured over these years is self-inflicted because of their unbelief. But there's coming a time during the tribulation time, we've already taught how there would be 144,000 witnesses to them, and then the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, are going to preach to Israel, and many in Israel are going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's going to take a lot to get them to turn, but they will eventually turn. And they are going to be persecuted and sought out and destroyed by the Antichrist, just like Hitler tried to do, just like Stalin tried to do. And still today, isn't it interesting? Where's the big trouble spot in the world today? Over there in Israel, the big trouble spot. It seems that all the nations of the world have a problem with Israel being allowed to exist. Well, I'm going to tell you something based upon the Word of God. They are not going away. They're not going to go away. That situation's there to stay. It's going to be a problem. Oh, yes, indeed. It is going to be a major problem for this world. Because Israel sits there as a people who are called the people of God. And you know, what do you think our world thinks about God? Do they even want God in their thoughts? No. They're getting rid of God all the time they can. Communist nations have no time for God. They're atheistic. Socialistic nations have no time for God. Government is God. And by the way, we're getting there. We're getting there, folks. Everybody's trusting in government today instead of God. They'll have to change the coins to say, "In government we trust." And you know they can't wait to get those words off of our coins, "In God we trust." And the courts will go along with it once it's brought there. It's an anti-God world, an anti-Christ world. And an anti-Christ is going to someday lead this world in opposition to Christ. And those people called Israel, whom our Old Testament scriptures declare to be God's chosen people. God promised to Abraham that that land that they're living on over there will be theirs as an everlasting inheritance. And the world can't stand that. And the reason is not just because, well, you know, the Palestinians and the Israelites just can't get along. They hate God. They don't want the God of the Bible. They've even invented their own God under Muhammad called Allah. And he's not the God of the Bible. He's a wicked God. An ungodly God, if you want to say. He's not like the God presented in our Bibles. And so there's going to be trouble there. And the judgment of the nations comes down to, how did you treat my brethren? And the nations are going to be divided based upon how they treated the brethren, or the people of God called Israel. That's what it comes down to. And how will people decide how they will treat God's people? I believe they will decide based upon whether they're saved or not. The saved during the tribulation time will recognize, whoa, the children of Israel have all the promises that God has made in the Bible to them. So we need to be trusting in the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel. Trust in Him who came and died on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead, and is now being preached to the whole world by these 144,000, which, by the way, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses is a cult outside the realm of Christianity that works for salvation, selling their Watchtower magazines. That's how they're getting into the kingdom. Wow. That's not in the Bible anywhere. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again to get into God's kingdom and to be on the right hand and to be a part of the sheep of Jesus Christ in any age. That's what you've got to do. And so, depending on how they treat the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ determines whether they're on the right-hand side as sheep or on the left-hand side as goats. You know what? I've switched this thing around twice on you now. I have to go based upon my perspective. The sheep are on the right side. The goats are on the left side. All right? You have to turn that around for yourself here. Depending on which side you are, is how did you treat the people of Israel? And I'll tell you what. Most of the people of our world are going to be found on the side against the people of Israel. Most of the world is anti-God and anti-Christ, has no time for the gospel. The Bible tells us that many there be that go the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Few there be that go that narrow way that leadeth unto life. So you know what? Don't determine in your mind as to whether you're on the right road or not, or whether you're saved or lost, sheep or goats, based upon how many people seem to be going the same way I'm going. Don't go based upon numbers. Because if you say, well, most people think the same way I do about things, you know what? That's most likely the wrong way to think. The way the crowd goes. You've got to find what does God say is the right way. And I'll just assure you right now, the way that God says to get to heaven is not the popular way. We almost everything that happens in our country today, immediately the next day, they want to put out an opinion poll. An opinion poll. Well, how many think that Obama's first few days are good? You know, 70, 60, 30, 40. You know, it doesn't matter if 99% say it's good or bad or and 1% says no or whatever. Truth is truth no matter who votes for it or against it. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. There's no opinion vote needed. It doesn't matter how many of us think that's right or wrong. The Bible says that is the way to be saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, how many people think that? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. If you believe that this book is the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe this is the Word of God, well then, you know, okay, take your opinion polls and go in whatever way the wind blows. But if you do believe that this book is a special book and it is the Word of God, then you can't go to your grave just thinking, as long as I'm pretty much the same way as everybody else, most likely you're going to be lost. And you're going to be on the left hand, a part of the goats. Well, I don't know if I believe in everlasting fire. Isn't it interesting? Look at that verse 41. Let me just say this for a moment here. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice the rest of this verse. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you know hell was not made for man to go to? You know, a lot of times people who make fun of hell and everything, and they have that little character, Red Hot, you know. He's red hot. He's all red. He's got two horns. He's got an arrow on the end of his tail. He's got a pitchfork. You know, that's man's way of just making fun of something that's real. Or in real bad. It's a way of man to make fun of it. Hell was not made by God so he could just stick people for eternity. You haven't been stuck for a while. Stick you and stick. That's not Bible. Hell was originally made for the devil and his angels. But men are going to go there because they choose not to accept God's plan of salvation. And that's the only reason they go there. It's not because in the eternity past, God just, I can't wait to roast people. I can't wait to pitchfork people. I can't wait. That's not our God. Our God loves. Our God's merciful. Our God's compassionate. Well, then how come He sends people to hell? In actuality, men choose to go to hell. Because from the foundation of the world, even before He made the first thing He created, He knew man would disobey. He knew. But He, even then, in love, He said, I'll provide a way for them to be saved if they want. And He will not twist your arm into eternal heaven or into the kingdom. Can you just imagine what would heaven be like if He twisted people's arms to go there? Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here, but I really don't like it here. Oh, boy. You know what? My Bible tells me heaven's a blessed place. Heaven's going to be a glorious place. Everybody's going to be happy there. Everybody's going to praise the Lord there. And they're going to want to do it. It's not a, well, we've got to go out and praise the Lord today for 6 hours. You'll be saying, can we make it longer, Lord? Can we sing this song longer? Why? Because the people that are there are going to be people who have been saved by the mercy, love of God. That's why. People in hell, you know what? Hell is going to always be a wicked place. It's always going to be bad. It's never going to evolve into something better than what it is. It's a place where those who have no desire for God to dwell for all eternity. My Bible says, and folks, I don't understand this. I don't understand how people are going to burn forever in hell. I don't understand that, you know. I don't understand how people are going to be tormented in hell forever and ever. I can't grab a hold of that. But my Bible tells me that's what it's going to be like. And I'm glad I'm not going there. But if you reject God's plan of salvation, which is Jesus coming to die on the cross for our sins, He who didn't sin took my sin upon Himself so that I might be forgiven of my sin and have everlasting life and a home in heaven, then I want that. And I'm looking forward to that. How about you? Are you saved this morning? If I would ask you this question, if you died this afternoon, oh, well, that won't happen. Oh, it could happen to you. Oh, no, well, then you're not thinking right. It could happen to you. Well, then you could be dead too. Amen. Yeah, I could. I could be dead too, but I'll tell you what. If I'm dead this afternoon, guess where I'm at tonight? In heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. Oh, no, well, your body will stay. Yeah, you'll bury my body, but my soul and spirit's going to be in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what it says for the saved. So, you'd almost be doing me a favor. Well, how about if we kill you this afternoon? I'll be with the Lord. How about you? Where would you be? Oh, you need to be ready. You need to be one of those who are on the right hand. A sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. That's what my Bible says. The shepherd gave his life for the sheep. I can't die for you. One of the sheep can't die for another sheep. That won't help. But the shepherd, he's the one who's in charge. And he gives his life on the cross of Calvary for his sheep. How about it? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you acknowledged your sinfulness? Your sin caused Jesus to go to that cross. He would not have had to die if it weren't for your sin and my sin, Adam's sin, Eve's sin, right on down the line. All of us are sinners, and He died for our sins. And that was determined before the first thing was ever created. What are you going to do with it? You determine. One of these days you're going to die. An opportunity is going to be gone. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so the goats then get the same thing given to them in this judgment. And He says, you're going to go into everlasting fire. Why? Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. Then they answer the same thing. And he says, because you did not do it to one of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. When they treated Israel the way they did, as a result, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, is going to consign them into everlasting fire. Wow. You know, for every single person, no matter what age they're in, if you're living at the time in the end of the Battle of Armageddon, or you're living now, or they lived in the Old Testament times all the way back to creation, about 6,000 years ago, every man who's lived and died has made his decision whether he's going to come to eternity God's way or his own way. Have you come God's way? God's way is through the cross. Through what Christ did. Man's way is, well, I'm not too bad. I go to church. I do the best I can. You know, that's man's way. God's way says, you're a sinner and can't save yourself. Come to the cross where Jesus dies for you. Admit you're a sinner. Repent of your sin. Trust him as your Savior. And I'll give you everlasting life. Wow. There's nothing better than that. How about it? Are you saved this morning or lost? Sheep or goats? Where do you sit here this morning? We know where the people will sit when they stand there in the future event called the Judgment of the Nations. And where they sit will be on the same basis where you sit this morning. I hope you can say in your heart, preacher, boy, you're preaching to the choir. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, preacher, you know what though? I'm not sure. Well, we'd like to help you be sure about that this morning. Why not admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to give an invitation here this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, oh, preacher, you know what? I've been thinking about this matter for a long time and haven't done anything about it. I need to be saved. I need to accept this beautiful, wonderful, free gift of salvation through faith in Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I now want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you just raise your hand and let me see it? Anyone like that? I'll not embarrass you. Just like to pray for you. Anyone like that? Say, preacher, I need this salvation. Need to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Would you just raise your hand and put it right back down? Father in heaven, oh, we thank you for giving us the information in your Word, which tells us what the future holds. Help us, Lord, to be a good testimony for the Lord as we see these days approaching. And of course, at any moment, we could be raptured out of here to be with the Lord. If there's any here today that are not saved, may they get saved. Pass from death unto life, from hell to heaven, from the right hand to from the left hand to the right hand, from goats to sheep. Oh, Lord, work in hearts, save sinners, and help the saved to realize the great importance of living for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jason, would you come and let's take our hymn books and turn to number 496. 496. You know, as we preach on these messages, I just can't help but think of how important it is for those who know the Lord as personal Savior to realize the urgency of the hour that we live in. They don't have many days left. I see the prophecies coming to pass. How many more days are we going to have to live for the Lord? We need to surrender our all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Start serving the Lord and being faithful to Him. All right, number 496. Let's stand as we sing. If you need to come forward for salvation, we'd be glad to help you with that matter. Why don't we stand and sing the song, Mean It From Our Heart, I Surrender, on 496. good news with people that they can be saved if they just trust Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. Help us all to be a good testimony for you this day and through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.